What is perfect love? Love born of truth. That knowledge of truth that I started off with, that the world seeks knowledge, but they don't seek truth. They think they do, but they don't. And many who go to church, as Paul was writing about, they were seeking knowledge, but they were never coming into the truth because they were not submitting. Perfect love casts out fear, because that love is born of worship, and that worship is born of trust, and that trust involves leaving it with Christ.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of 1 John. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, let's join Pastor Rick in the book of 1 John chapter 4 as he continues his message called Bold Christ-like Love.
Don't you for one minute think that he does not love you in spite of everything about you. That, in fact, I'll put it this way. As much as you know about your shortcomings, God knows about 20 more that you've not gotten to. And he still loves you. You younger teens, maybe you're still living in the home and you're corrected a lot. And you may feel unloved or picked on. So, no, kidding. It's part of growing up. It's part of coming under authority. It has nothing to do with you being unloved. It's usually quite the opposite. You are loved. And love must correct that which is wrong. And so your parents deal with these things. It's okay. You'll do well. So well that one day will come when you'll be doing them to your own kids. The cycle of correction is one that helps. Not hurts when done right. Now what about those who say they follow Christ and suppose that they are justified in hating and slandering others who they disagree with? I mean, I have a disdain for the doctrine of Calvinism, but those are my brothers and sisters still. I'm not going to slander them and justify my wrath against them because we don't agree on this doctrine. I still love them. I can love wrong people, and they can love me back, thinking that I'm wrong. It's okay if we lighten up on certain areas and understand that just because we disagree with someone on something that's important to us does not justify meanness. I don't know that I've always gotten that one right. Thanks. Thanks to me, you know, sharing it with you. Anyway, too many of us are unskilled in love because we won't wait. We try to get out of those things that force us to love one another. And no matter how much you struggle to love, it is the one struggle you must never give up. No matter how many times you fail, you may fail at your devotions, you may fail at getting to church on time or this or that, and be very frustrated with yourself, and maybe even give up. But don't give up on trying to love. It's not worth it. God will get something out of you just for the effort. Because love is that powerful. We'll come back to that verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Well, this love has been perfected among us. That Greek word for perfected is it is finished. It's the same Greek word Jesus used from the cross. It is finished. It's done. The love of Christ, what is available to us, that is perfected. And it is given to us, it is repeated, he is repeating here in verse 17 what he said in verse 12. He says that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness as in assurance, not rudeness. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. That's boldness, to say, I know I'm saved. That's not arrogance. I'm not reckless. I'm not exceeding my authority. I'm entering into the authority Christ has given me to say, I know I'm saved. I have assurance. He's talking about judgment day, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. We're not going to the great white throne. There'd be no boldness there. No one's going to have to shove us to bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. We have recognized it and submit to it, and we love it. We love his lordship. No, boldness is not reckless. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, he goes on to say, self-control. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We are going to be bold in the sense of assurance when we stand before Christ. And we can even do it now. We can boldly come. So if I'm in my, I don't like to be interrupted when I'm preparing for a Sunday or a Thursday or any other time I have to minister the word. But my children have always known that they have access to me nonetheless. Now if they want to come in and chit-chat about nonsensical things, I'm going to chase them out very nicely, at least they did the first time. You need to go. Okay. I've told you before. Never mind. Back to this. But they know they can always come to me. And God is that way. And I hope there's no Christian that thinks it's any other way. You can boldly come in as though he's your God. Not again recklessly or carelessly. Still, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But we don't have this fear of uncertainty when it comes to approaching God and being received by him because of what Jesus has done. There are others, however, that have this terror, this fear, this torment. In Matthew 13, Jesus said, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There will be those that don't have this boldness because they don't have the blood. They're not part of the family. They've rejected this. And we work very hard for those who do not yet receive Christ, have not yet received him. We work very hard, hopefully, to get them to see the light, to enter into the faith. Don't give up on your loved ones, no matter how hard they may be against the gospel. You have no right to forsake them by stopping your prayers for them. You may have to shut your mouth and not preach the gospel anymore to them, but you can go boldly to the throne of God on their behalf. That is called intercession. That is being Christ-like. Jesus said to Peter, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you, but I have prayed for you. And we are supposed to be Christ-like in every way. And we're going to come to that in just a moment. And so this love is to flow through us to lost and saved alike, to people we like and people we don't like. We are supposed to love nonetheless. This is a bold love. This is a love that will shine through darkness. And lost souls don't have it. And so he says, because, which is the reason for the hope that is in us. We can have this love. We can boldly stand before God on the day of judgment because we know it's God is love and he loves us. And he didn't die for us just for us to tremble in his presence. Before I was a believer, I would think, boy, if I saw God, I'd be terrified. I've never thought that as a believer. My thought is, you know, and then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. That's how I feel about seeing the face of Christ. Because I know he's got it. He'll take care of all my shortcomings and my sin. He deals with that part. It's up to me to believe him, to trust him, to seek him, to want him. And so he says, as he is, here in the bottom of verse 18, so are we in this world. So, well, let me reread that to you. As he is, so are we in this world. Christ's likeness said in 9 single syllable words. How simple is that? It's very simple. The gospel. 6 of those words are 2 letters in our English language. A.W. Tozier wrote, to accept Christ is to know the meaning of the words, as he is, so are we in this world. We accept his friends as our friends, his enemies as our enemies, his ways as our ways, his rejection as our rejection, his cross as our cross, his life as our life, and his future as our future. There was just a man that had a telescope when it came to seeing the things of God. He could see farther than so many others. And God used him so that we could see some of what he was shown. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now you read this, you say, as a Christian, I've had fear and I've had torment. Am I disqualified? Well, he's talking about judgment day. Verse 18 belongs with verse 17. He's talking about standing before God. There is no fear in love. We have to understand what got us into heaven is love. And God did not bring us into heaven just to terrorize us. Now that you're here, let's brought up all those things you did in back of the shed or wherever else you did them. There will be a judgment for the righteous, but I don't believe it will be a terrifying judgment. I don't know all the details of how God's going to work it out. I don't think when I see Daniel getting a lion's share of the blessing that I'm going to be jealous. I might say, wow, I would like that. Maybe Daniel would be nice and give it to me. Years ago, I was working on a job and at a coffee break, and one of the guys was talking. He says, my sister, she married this rich guy. And the other coworker said, your sister's rich? He says, yeah. Think she'd buy a house for me? And I thought that was the logical thing to say. I said, why didn't I think of that? That's what I would want. Well, anyway, because God is love, and because of God's love in Christ, I'm saved. And I'm supposed to behave that way. Not only morally, but with this blessed assurance. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's his work. He says, but perfect love casts out fear. Clearly, John is not talking about a common love. What is perfect love? Love born of truth. That knowledge of truth that I started off with. That the world seeks knowledge, but they don't seek truth. They think they do, but they don't. And many who go to church, as Paul was writing about, they were seeking knowledge, but they were never coming into the truth because they were not submitting. Perfect love casts out fear, because that love is born of worship, and that worship is born of trust, and that trust involves leaving it with Christ. Not so much in this life. Paul spoke about being in fear. At one point, he spoke of being in despair of life as this great apostle. He's just so sick and tired of the conditions that he was subjected to for the kingdom of Christ that he entered into deep depression, not inaction. Depression's part of life, and so is coming out of it. Incidentally, you won't find that on How to Be Happy books. You get depressed, you got to fight your way out. You can do this. You don't listen to your own voice. The devil speaking as a ventriloquist in your own tone, telling you, you can't. Just keep swinging, keep moving forward. Take the pain. Sometimes I find myself saying, just suffer it. When there's something I don't like, and I just go, just take the pain. And then I go do something else, and it's gone. You may say it doesn't work for me. Keep at it. Don't quit. He says, because fear involves torment. And God's love dissolves that torment concerning us on that terrible day of judgment. For the lost, yes, but not for us. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Are you an unbelieving believer? Do you say you believe in Christ, that he died for you? That the angels that took Lazarus to the bosom of Abraham will be the same angels that take you to the throne room of Christ because of love? Or are you terrified? If you're terrified, you've got work. The psalmist wrote, Psalm 94, verse 19, in the multitude of my anxieties with me, your comforts delight my soul. He did not say, in the multitude of my anxieties, I don't fear anymore. He says, in the midst of those anxieties, I find comfort. He's working through it. Do you think Jacob feared the approach of Esau? You bet he did. He wrestled with God over that matter. He wrestled so hard he never walked the same. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. We do not have what it takes to initiate love with God. No human being does. You cannot initiate love with God. If you love God, it is a fire that he lit in your heart, the God that answers by fire. He is God. And that you love him is evidence. It's proof. It's something for you to do something with, like trust and keep going. This love, this agape love, it flows downward before it can flow upward. Moses told the Jews, God loves you. It's not really emphasized in the Old Testament, but it is emphasized in the New. Deuteronomy 7. I better hurry up here. Yahweh did not set his love on you or choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were least of all peoples, but because Yahweh loves you and because he would keep his oath, which he swore to your fathers. Yahweh has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He just says, because God loves you. Why? Because. Because why? Well, John tells us, because God is love. He's looking. He's looking to love people that will receive that love. And he will reject those who reject that love. That's the gospel story. Verse 20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So John reasons. This agape love, it does not diminish. It does not dim when it leaves the presence of God. Our love is not supposed to be, oh, Lord, I love, I worship you, I sing songs to you, I thank you, and then go and hate on somebody right after that. It's supposed to be still working, full steam. This love is not natural to the flesh, it's not found in the world, and it's hated by Satan. It's hated by Satan because it does damage to his agenda all the time. This is where Jonah failed. Jonah was supposed to love right off the bat, even if he did not use those words. Because of his love for God, he was to obey God and go to the Ninevites. Of course, he goes in the opposite direction. Jonah knew God. He knew God would forgive the Ninevites. So he was resisting love on every level. Had he dropped dead, had he died in that fish, that would have been it. God preserved that story for all of us. Maybe you've got some passionate hatred, like Jonah, God wants to deal with. And he'll strip it out of you if you let him. It's better to have God strip it out of you than let it run free. G.K. Chesterton, who made some clever observations. He says, the Bible tells us to love our neighbors and also to love our enemies, probably because they are generally the same people. The ones that are close enough to hate are supposed to be the ones that we love. They don't make it easy. I mean, you can love somebody and you're just around them long enough, you start picking on them. Like, why do you always drink with your left hand? Some stupid thing like that, right? Why do you never button that button? Just some dumb thing. So where do these things come from? The flesh, and then Satan exploits it. If you have hatred in your heart for another, then you don't have love for Christ. I didn't say it. God says it through his prophet, his apostle John. Proof of salvation is love. The foremost fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. If you take that out of the list of Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. You don't have the others. You take the love out. What good is the others? Paul said you're just annoying. Going around, I love God. I love God. I just hate people. That does not give in to it. Again, you do not have to be a social butterfly. Oh, I'm going to have a party. Or maybe you are. Maybe there are those people that, you know, just they're people. That's wonderful. My daughter, one of them, she's a people person. I don't like her for that, but what does she know? She's just a kid. Stick around. You meet some of the people I met. I've got to fight tarnishing her. Tell me again why you love them? No. But anyway, I don't hate people. I don't dislike them. My light goes off before others go, and I need a little space. That's all. So, John the Baptist. I mean, you wouldn't catch John the Baptist at the milkshake shack. Sipping on a vanilla shake with everybody. Well, he might for like 8 minutes. John Wesley, again, what's his name? Samuel Johnson, the great mind of his age, and said that Wesley wouldn't stay still long enough to engage in a conversation. No, because John Wesley was so busy preaching the gospel, he had no time for that in his personality. And he saved England single-handedly, God working through him. Just let people be who they are, as long as they're not sinning. Well, anyway, verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. You know, just the knowledge of, you know, I don't have to conform to other people's views of love. I have to conform to God's view of love. That's liberating. Because when you're trying to be like someone you're not, then you're tripped up. But when you find out, okay, I know who I am. I'm good with this now. I don't mean as far as, a sinner. I mean as just personality goes. All right, well, let's just finish this verse. And this commandment we have found, verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So effective is agape love that it is demanded. It is a commandment. This is liberating. We forget again to love many times because we think this love is emotional. So if you're driving along and someone is irritating you, the other driver or someone in the cab, we fly off the handle because we forget. We're not waiting to feel like I love the guy to show them. We love without the feelings. The next time someone does you wrong, remember, love without feelings is powerful. How powerful is that? What does Satan have against that? You mean you love me and you don't have a reason to love me except the commandment. Because you love Christ so much, you're willing to love me, to look out for my interests within reason. Feelings obscure agape love. Well, you can have the feelings, sure, but you must be able to roll without them. Feelings, in this sense, make love inferior, undependable. How can you depend on agape love if you're waiting to feel the inspiration? You know, we come, we sing songs because we want inspiration. So how many times do I come into the pulpit uninspired, but I function because of the unction? Unction's an old word for anointing. That's what I want, the anointing. There have been, you know, you can preach in the pulpit and actually get a little bored, but you still feel the anointing. You can preach the gospel in the workplace so much that you can get a little bored with it. That's just the flesh, that's all. You don't pay attention to that. Just keep moving. If you've not preached it enough, then you don't enter into these higher experiences and learn that you got to shove them aside if you're going to get anything done. Love based on obedience is stronger than love based on feelings. That's what I'm trying to say. Love and hate are opposites. The standing order is that they attack each other on sight. Love will attack hatred on sight, and hatred will attack love on sight. So we've got to come to this realization, and I close with this. A drowsy love does not take care of the king's business. Work to keep it strong. Work to obey. You don't feel like doing your devotions? Do them anyway. Don't feel like praying? Pray anyway. Maybe you don't pray as long as you do when you're inspired. That's okay. Is it nice to be inspired? Absolutely. Do I depend on that? Not at all. Is this practiced? Yes. When you mothers have your children, don't you want a lot of sleep? But you get up and you function anyway, don't you? Because the consequences aren't worth it. Well, why wouldn't we expect love to be stronger than that? Agape love. Loving the unseen God That's what we do.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference is a ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find a number of teachings from Pastor Rick available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of new editions of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app store. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from the book of 1 John with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.